Father, I give your name praise and glory and honor. I bless you for being my everything. I thank you right now, God, for being my provision, my leader, my guide, my comforter, my friend, my companion. And today I owe you my prayer. I owe you my worship. I bless you, God, for being the greatest God in the whole world. I will sing to you in this holy place. I will tell of you even in the marketplace. I will pray to you. Yeah, I stand and give you glory and praise, for you are my everything. Hallelujah. Come on, stand and take 3 seconds to get to worship God right now. I don't care where you're standing. I want you to lift up your holy hands and begin to offer a worship, a praise, of appreciation to the Lord for being your everything. Before all mankind, I will continually praise your holy name for the rest of my life. I can stand and testify that none compares to you, for you are El Shaddai. Oh yeah, you are my everything. Father, I give you the praise and the glory and the honor, for you are my everything. Hallelujah. Father, I bless your holy name this day. And God, I will let the whole world know how great you are. What an awesome provider. What an awesome comforter. What an awesome friend. What an awesome God. I just want to testify a second. You are my life. Lord, you're my strength. You're everything to me. Even when I feel like giving up, you're my joy. So divine. Yes, you are. And Lord, you're my peace that surpasses all understanding. When I don't know where I'm going to turn to. Lord, you're my hope in the time of trouble. Coming from somehow, some way you make a way. You're my life, you're my strength. Lord, you're everything to me, and I gotta testify that you are my joy. When I feel like crying, when I feel like giving up, when I feel like throwing in the towel, you're my peace. Well, the devil thought he was gonna take my mind. For the trial of this life, you step right in on time. You became my hope in the time of trouble. When the gas prices went high, you still made a way. You are my life. You're my strength. You calm my mind, just like you calm the sea. You
life, strength, joy, peace. Lord, you are my everything. And this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world. The Running for Christ Ministry, Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Running for Christ Ministries of Church of Teaching, Learning, and Doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly. And we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with our proclamation of scripture and prayer. And at Running for Christ Ministry, we believe it's vital. And the word of God tells us so. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. And we have this morning to help us do so is our very own sister deaconess, Loretta Wells. Good morning, and thank you for being with us.
Good morning, Kathy, and thank you. It's always a pleasure to be a part of this worship service. As she said, my name is Deaconess Loretta Welch, and I'm here to bring you the Why We Are proclamation as well as the scripture and prayer for today's service. Why We Are Here proclamation. We proclaim that Jesus the King pre-existed as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule and will come again as final judge to rule. The scripture today is coming from Luke 24, 1 through 12, and it's entitled, Jesus Has Risen. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again?" Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. For they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Amen. Lord God, our Father, we ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will participate in this worship service now or later. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to offer you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We pray that our songs, prayer, and preached word lift Jesus so that all who are lost today will be found. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask you to bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Deaconess Loretta, for the proclamation, scripture, and prayer. You know we appreciate you, and have a beautiful day.
And you do the same.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Amen. Thank you, Deaconess Clyburn. Appreciate you. Appreciate you, Deaconess Loretta. Tell Ali I said, hey. Anyway, amen. We're going into that time that we celebrate every year where Jesus got up. We know he got up, amen. But it's fun just to go through it all over again so we can remember how we have been made right with the Lord. Amen. It is nothing that we weren't even involved in the plan. I mean, we weren't there with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in heaven before they decided to even do all of this. Amen. But it was planned from eternity past, and God planned for us to be made right with him. Now that we have been made right with him, you know, I'm reminded of what Paul said over in Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 and some of the following verses. But here's what I love. He said, don't worry about nothing. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Here's the part. Remember what God has already done. See, that gives us strength to go forward. I mean, look back at the worst times you've ever had in your life. And look where you are, overcome. You've overcome all those things. And so that gives us encouragement going forward, amen, that we can be more than overcomers. Not only do we overcome everything between here and Revelation chapter 4, amen, but we get to Revelation chapter 4. Unsaved folks can overcome some things. They can overcome debt. They can even get sick and get well. Amen. But after this life, if you can't overcome the first death, amen, if you don't take part in the first resurrection, amen, then you don't get that second part. But we do, amen. So while we worship today, let's remember what God has already done in our lives and use that as encouragement to know what he's going to do about this current situation, this current trial, this current tribulation that we face today.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. The goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. Hey! For all my life you have been faithful.
Oh, yes you have.
All my life you have been so good. Every breath that I have.
Come on, right here.
It was the blood
shed on Calvary. Come on.
Shed on Calvary.
No greater love.
No greater love
can never be shown to me.
You know, I've been saved since 1975 when the Lord found me in the late summer, early fall, and revealed himself to me and filled me with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I started asking God for things, and he wouldn't answer me. And I started to wonder, did I get something wrong? And then the Lord taught me that I have to ask him for what he said I could have. I have to ask him for what already belongs to me. But I have to use my faith to get it. See, the Bible said in Matthew chapter 6, I believe it was, that the Lord knows full well that you have need of all these things. We're talking about needs. We ain't talking about my wants like a race truck and my desires like a super race truck. We're just talking about the stuff I need, amen? But he knows what I need. And still, I have to access what I need by faith. For instance, if a man don't work, he don't eat. So if I ask God for some food, guess what I'm going to have to do? I'm going to have to work by faith to access the food that they got in the store that you need money to pay for. I'm going to have to work to get it, right? That's faith. It's working out, right? One of the most important things you want to do, my brother and sister in Christ, is find out what God said belongs to you. What belonged to the children of Israel under the dispensation of the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, don't belong to you. What's in grace under the dispensation of grace, the New Covenant, that belongs to you. Amen. And so you can be guaranteed that when you ask the Lord, you know that you'll receive. Why? Because the Lord said it belongs to you.
It belongs to me. Salvation belongs to me. And I have everything to make salvation complete. 'Cause I know the work is already done by the power of his blood. I know it's mine. It belongs to me.
Hallelujah. Pastor, oh, you know you always take us there. The goodness of the Lord. Never knew love like this before. Wow. And you know why? Because it belongs to me. Everything you have for me, it is mine. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you for those blessings of songs and faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. Thank you. Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who could meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following the selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own associate pastor, Sarah Tate McClendon, woman of God. Yes, prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. So meet us at the altar and prepare to receive our very own associate pastor, Sarah Tate McClendon. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
what's going on in my mind, trying to make me think my faith is counterfeit. And whoa, no, certain days it feel like my faith is running low. But it's a mustard seed, so I must believe in what I sow. Sowing tears, what you water will grow. Never fear, it's all under control. The storm is here, but I'm sleep on the boat. Whoa. Yeah. Everything I went through, I knew I would be blessed. Yeah. Try to pull me down, but I see the mark, so I press. Christ brought me out so many times, why stress? Yeah. I'ma sing hallelujah anyhow through the test.
Anyhow, hallelujah, anyhow, hallelujah, anyhow, hallelujah, anyhow.
Amen. Let us pray. Lord, bless your holy name. Thank you for being all of the things that we need on a daily basis, Lord, and we ask that you continue to hold us up as we continue to live this life. Lord, give us everything that we need, but while we ask for those things, Lord, we just want to completely honor you. Thank you for sending your son down as a salvation piece for us, Lord, as an atonement piece, Lord, as a sacrificial piece, Lord. And thank you for having a plan so that our souls are not demised, Lord. Allow anyone that is not saved unto you, Lord, be saved, Lord. And allow us to be good vessels for them to be able to not only confide in, but to vent to when things get rough. Lord, allow us to align with your will, Lord, and allow our ways to be your ways, Lord, and allow us to understand what your ways are. Lord, thank you for every opportunity that we have on a daily basis to give you praise, even if we don't do that. Lord, continue to convict our souls and our hearts and our minds, Lord, so that we're constantly aligning with you. Lord, and we just continue to praise and give you glory and honor in the spaces where sometimes we don't see a win, Lord. Thank you for being sovereign. Thank you for being holy. Thank you for being righteous, Lord. Thank you for setting the standard. Thank you for not changing your ways, Lord. Thank you for your precepts on precepts to be firm, Lord, and allow us to continue to build a foundation in you. Lord, thank you for every opportunity yet again that we have, even when our bodies seem to fail, Lord, to give you praise. Lord, as we continue to walk this walk, Lord, bless our bodies to uplift us, Lord. Allow our souls and our physical strengths to be aligned so that our mind is well and our heart is along with you. Lord, as we continue to seek your the spaces that we need to seek you in, Lord, allow us to be not fearful. Lord, allow us to be confident. Allow us to be open-minded. Allow us to be eager to learn the lesson that it is that you're trying to teach us at the time. Lord, bless those that have terminal illnesses, Lord, to be able to smile and have joy throughout their days. Lord, bless those that deal with depression and long suffering and all of the things that seem to get us down and anxious. Lord, allow that to be lifted, Lord, and allow that yoke to be lifted away from us, Lord. Throw it away so that we are not even reminded of the things that used to get us tore up. Lord, thank you for your plan of purpose for our lives, Lord, and allow us to be able to tap into that plan under you. Lord, bless the leaders of this nation, Lord, to be able to make decisions, Lord. Bless the nation as a whole, Lord, to be able to be unified in you. Allow those that need to speak up to speak out, Lord. And allow those that need to be quiet to shut up. Thank you for all of the things that you continue to do on a daily basis, Lord, that allow us to live, move, and have our being. Thank you for being Jehovah Jireh, the provider, Lord. And thank you for being peace, Jehovah Shammah. Shalom, sorry, Lord. Thank you for being just all of the things that you allow us to be, Lord, in you.
Thank you for restoring our lives in spaces that we have never would have imagined, Lord, and allow restoration to continue to be in those spaces that we need you. Lord, bless Israel, Lord. Lord, bless all of the conspiracies that we don't see, Lord. Allow anything that comes from up under Satan's authority to be devoured by your word. Allow us to speak your word fluently, Lord, and unapologetically. Thank you again for the time that you give us, Lord, and we ask that you continue to bless not only the messenger, but all of the message, Lord. Allow your Holy Spirit to consume it and to be nothing but what you want it to be. Bless everyone that was a part of this service, Lord, even in the background, Lord, and continue to just give us what we need so that we can survive. In Jesus' name, with thanksgiving, amen.
Yes, Lord, we are reminded that you are here. We thank you. Power is prayer. Thank you. Thank you, Associate Pastor Sarah, for praying and making our request known to God. We know we appreciate you, and have a beautiful day. Amen.
Amen.
Having this morning, with more to come, I just want to thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship service, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Be the reason someone smiled today. Share the love, joy, and the blessing. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Time for the preach word. A message from God. The best part, icing on the cake. So following this selection, the next voice you will have the pleasure of hearing is our very own man of God, Elder Joseph Stevens. So prepare to receive Elder Joseph Stevens as he comes in his own way with a word from the Lord. So let's receive Elder Stephen with a warm and open heart. Amen.
Grace when the heart is under fire. Another way when the walls are closing in. And when I look at the space between where I used to be and this reckoning, I know I will never be alone. There was another in the fire.
Excuse me. Searching for the preacher this morning. Okay, preacher, if you called in by another number that I don't recognize, go ahead and press 1 so I can find you amongst all the numbers of the people who have called in. Amen. Okay, we missing a preacher this morning. Okay, well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, let me play this song, and we'll be right back.
I'm so confused. I know I heard you loud and clear, so I followed through. Broken heart is a part of your plan. When I try to pray, all I got is hurt and these four words. Thy will be done, thy will be done, thy will be done.
I know you see me. I know you hear me, Lord. I know you know I just found out. But I know you. You didn't just find out. You already know. Fill me up, Lord, and let me pour out something for your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Good Saturday morning. Wait a minute. Jesus, this ain't funny. Good Saturday morning to you. I am Pastor O. You already know that. And, yeah, going to be your preacher this morning. And we thank God for the opportunity. Amen. All the time. Praise the Lord. Amen. I have a laughing Holy Spirit in me, so, amen. He believes this is kind of funny because I'm always told to check things out, and I just didn't. I'm Joshua. I went down to AI. I ain't even got a plan. And now I'm running back. But anyway, amen, I'm here. And we thank God for you. And normally Deaconess Rebecca Johnson would be reading the scripture, but since, amen, this is super ad hoc, amen, there you go. So anyway, I'm going to be a scripture reader. And yeah, and we're going to Philippians chapter 4. This seems to be the theme of this service, okay? God want to bless somebody. Somebody, we're not believing God. That stuff is happening, and we're not believing God can do anything. So the Lord been talking to me about this all morning. I had no idea I was going to be preaching about it. Maybe that's why he was talking to me about it, and all the songs went that way. Amen. The goodness of the Lord, it belongs to me. Hallelujah, anyhow. Hey, another in the fire, amen, and thy will be done. Yeah, I think those songs kind of tell me something's up. I should have been paying attention, amen. But I'm going to be coming from Philippians chapter 4, amen. My favorite chapter, well, not, I don't have a favorite chapter in the Bible. It's favorite words in the book, amen, praise the Lord. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9, amen. And here's what the Lord says from the NIV version. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Now, here's the good part, y'all. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've heard or have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. Amen. God bless the people who are about to hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Normally I would ask y'all to repeat after me, but I forgot. Amen. Praise the Lord. So repeat after me. Lord, bless me to hear your word this morning. Lord, bless my heart to receive your word this morning. Because I acknowledge to you your ways and thoughts are not like mine, but I'm here today to be transformed so I can change the way I think according to your word, so I can always know your good, pleasing, and perfect will for my life. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So let's get at it. This is Paul writing to the Philippians. Of course, Paul's situation, he in jail. He locked up in Rome. He traveled all the way to Rome, went through, oh, Lord have mercy. You read the book of Acts, you'll see all he went through before he got locked up in Rome. Amen. Jesus. I'll be preaching about that next week, I'm going to stay out of that. Amen. But this is Paul writing to some people who he planted their church, right, on his second missionary journey, went to Philippi. You read about it. You was over there in Acts chapter 16. I know you read all about it. He went down there and met this lady named Lydia. She was a seller of purple. She lived in Thyatira, but she had another crib in Philippi. And so since Paul led her to Christ and they didn't really have nowhere to stay, She invited them to stay at her house, and they did. So they set up a church in that house. Amen. Now, they would go down to the river to pray. And while they were on their way down to the river, this girl, we're going to call her Madam Cleo, amen, she would be followed. She was a Madam Cleo. She was a psychic. Oh, okay, sidebar. I knew this was going to happen. Okay, y'all don't forget where I was going because we're in Philippi because I'll forget. Amen. Madam Cleo, Christians, listen, I'm going to say this. I'm going to say it quick. Do not embarrass Jesus by going on Facebook and giving credit to astrological signs. That is not from Jesus. That's from the devil. Okay? So stop naming yourself. You act like you down in Babylon and they done changed your name from Daniel to Belshazzar. Okay? Names that represent another God. No, God gave you your name. Amen? Stick with that. You're a daughter of the king. Oh, I preached over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. God says, then you'll be my sons and daughters. Come out from among them. So I know you like being whatever your astrological sign. Well, I know you like that. And it seemed like they was telling you all about yourself, but that wasn't nothing but the devil. I mean, all you got to do is, let's listen, this girl following them down to the river every day. Could you imagine it? She's behind them saying, check this out. These are the men of God. They come to show us the way to be saved. In other words, she was mocking them daily. Well, you know Paul. He was saved, but God was still working. Jesus was still working on him. So he turned around. You know how Paul, remember that man tried to slap him? He grabbed my man's hand and threw it back in his face and told him, God will smack you, you white one. Amen. He don't play that. So here this girl done got on his last nerve, but he didn't, guess, check this out, though. When he turned around, he didn't address her. He addressed the demon in her. Now you see why you don't want to be hooked up with astrology? It's run by demons. It's opposite of God. It's an alternative to God. Don't be silly. Amen. I ain't even say it, so I don't say he said it. Don't be stupid. Amen. Don't let the devil play you like that. Don't be running around and talking about I'm a Virgo. No, you're not. You're a child of God. God never, but Jesus said you was a Virgo. Jesus said you was one of them other things, fishes and things. No, he didn't. The devil said that. So watch this. Paul got sick and tired of being sick and tired of this girl following them around, driving them nuts, and he said, Jesus, kind of. And Jesus said, go ahead. Paul turned around and said, look, in the name of Jesus, I cast you out. He wasn't talking about the girl. He can't take her spirit and soul nowhere. Amen. God gave us life. Only God can take it away, right? Like my mother told me, only God got a heaven or hell. These people can't put you nowhere, so don't be scared of him. Amen. So Paul said, I cast you out. He wasn't speaking to her. He was speaking to the demon who was in her. Amen. Said, I cast you out in the name. When that demon heard the name of Jesus, it was over. See, as long as they thought it was Paul, it was over. Remember over there in Acts chapter 19, amen, when the seven sons of Sceva, who thought they could just run around and got no connection with Jesus at all. They thought they could do what Paul did. They said, we cast you out in the name of the Jesus that Paul preached. And the demons like, oh, what, whoa. Y'all don't even have a relationship with Jesus. The demons say, can we? And the Lord say, go teach them a lesson. And the demons closed that door. They was in one man, right? And they beat seven men up until they was bloody and naked. But watch this. The demon said, Jesus we know, and Paul we know about, but who are you? So over here, Paul said in the name of Jesus, see, Paul knew Jesus. He had a relationship with Jesus. And Paul's motivation was to rid this girl of this demon. And so he says, in the name of Jesus, I cast you out. And guess what? Them demons couldn't do nothing about that. What they going to tell Jesus, we ain't going? Amen. What they going to say? Well, we don't care nothing about no Jesus. Really? Are you kidding me? They used to see Jesus walking around in that body Jesus was trying to hide. He's in a human body. They won't recognize him. Them demons were like, we know you, Jesus, who you are. Son of God, are you come to torment us, cast us out, throw us to the ground, put us in hell before the time? Demons look at you the same way. Do you look at them as being scared of you, or are you scared of them? Talking about, don't let the devil do nothing to me today, Lord. Don't let the devil beat me up today. Are you kidding? You walk in the power of Jesus. So anyway, back to the story. Paul cast the demon out. The girl go home. The owners, her slaves, she was a slave to these people, indentured servitude for some reason or other. Maybe her father had a debt, and that was he had to put her in slavery. So anyway, she's slaving for them. And since she filled up with demons who can tell the future, amen, well, they making money. People getting paid to get their future told. So anyway, now she broke. Paul done broke their fortune-telling machine. So guess what they do? They go to the magistrates and they say, this man over here broke my fortune-telling machine, and now we can't get paid. No, that ain't what they said. You know what they said? They wanted Paul and them hurt. And this is how I know the devil, oh, you're going to cast my boys out? I'm finna set you up for jail. So the devil say, go over there and tell them, this is what you tell them. Don't say he cast and broke my fortune-telling machine. Go over there and say, these men are preaching stuff that's not even lawful for us to hear. And since it was a crowd and the magistrates felt like, oh, they're going to snitch us out, they threw Paul and them in jail with no trial, beat them, and then threw them in the dungeon, and then told the jail to make sure they don't get away. Amen? So guess what Paul and them did? They rejoice. As it says here in verse 4, they say, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. See, Paul had to live out these words before he could write these words. Before Paul could write verse 4, he had to live it out. And y'all know what happened in that Philippian jail. Their arms chained to the wall and their feet fastened in the stock and they're in the dungeon. Rats is down there. Other people's left behind feces is down there. Other people's left behind urine is down there. Smell like ammonia poured all over the place. It smell like somebody done left chicken skin and greens in a pot and they done took the top off. That's what it was like. I'm just trying to help you understand what kind of situation they was in. But before Paul could write these words, rejoice in the Lord always, I'll say it again, rejoice. There's an exclamation point at the end. That's why I say rejoice. Before he could write those words, he had to live them words. Before Paul could say it, uh-oh, Jesus, you're trying to get in my sermon for tomorrow. Before Paul could say, I have learned to be. You know, to learn math, you got to go to math class. So if Paul learned to be content in whatever situation he found himself, guess what? He had to live that first. You know, I think it was Job who said, the thing I feared the most. Now, Job was rich. God loved him, spoke well of him, right? Everybody respected him. He had that cred in the community. But even though he's the richest man in the East, even though the Lord had all them good things to say about him, he had these fears in him that prevented him from enjoying all that God had gave and made him. Job said it, 3:23, the thing I feared the most has happened to me. And so you need to go back and look what happened. Lost all his wealth, lost his standing in the community, his kids all dead, all 10 of them. And the only people left alive is the people to bring bad news. That's what he feared the most. And God let it happen to him. That's why at the end of the story, Job say, Lord, I talk like somebody crazy because I ain't know. But now that I know, I repent in sackcloth and ashes. And that's how he got double for his trouble. But he had to live that. Excuse me. He had to live that before he could write that. I hear a lot of people running around talking about what Jesus will do. Amen. Do you know that because you've had to wait to go through it and watch Jesus do it? See, I heard Pastor Jonathan Tate, he's assistant pastor at our church, for those who don't know, I heard him say what Jesus will do about a job, what Jesus will do when you can't find one in 19 months and you got a double master's and you don't know what's going on. You can't pay car notes, rent, nothing else, but you love Jesus. See, he can testify why about that. He could write about that, why he'd been through that. He wrote a book about a relationship with his father. You ought to read it. But to write that book, it had to be like that. Or he couldn't write that. He had to live that. Or he couldn't write that. He wrote what he lived. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Sounds crazy, don't it? What do you mean rejoicing in you? My house is burnt down. My kids over there, look at them. Crazier than crazy. Okay? Everything's going wrong. What do you mean rejoice? But remember, the person who wrote this was sitting in a jail, not the one that I just told you about over there in Philippi. Well, the end of that story is y'all know what happened. They got the praise and God. The Isaac Kyrie was playing in the background, talking about in the middle of it. And Paul and Silas was like, in the middle of it. In the middle, and next thing you know, Jesus is like, I got to do something about that. Praise tore up the jail, but didn't tear up nobody. Everybody got saved. Read it. But the jail he writing from now is another jail. Now he's made that trip to Rome. The Lord said, you must testify about me in Rome. So Paul knew wasn't nothing going to happen to him between where he was and Rome. And he makes it to Rome, but he locked up. Watch this, though. Watch how God got him in jail. He's in there. Amen. Got his own private guard. He's in there. Amen. Having Bible classes. He's in there having all his needs met by those who he traveled with. Lord have mercy. But he in jail. But he rejoicing. He's writing this letter to the Philippians about perfect peace. That's what we're talking about today. Perfect peace is ours. Y'all remember that song? It belongs to me. How many need perfect peace? I like perfect peace. It's better than Jesus said. It ain't like the peace the world give. Amen. Jesus said, the peace I give is not like the world give. The peace I give, the world can't take it away. You know what that means? You can't have a bad enough time to take away your peace, because you can give it away, but you can't take it away. The world can't take it, but you can give it away. You can sit in the Philippian jail and have a heart attack because you're in there. Or you can sit in the Philippian jail and know God didn't die when you got in jail, and God will get you out. Amen. He says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. In other words, don't start acting crazy because you're going through something. Don't start acting all tough because you're going through something. Don't start, don't talk to me now, I'm going through something. You don't want to speak to me now, I'm going through something. Amen. See, gentleness is a fruit of who? The Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. You know the verses. Go read them. That's one of, now you know why we need it. Because when we're going through bad times, we need to act like we ain't even in bad times. You know, I love how Dr. Tony Evans say that. He trips me out all the time. He say, faith is acting like you believe what God say. I'm like, come on, Tony, come on. Acting like you believe what God say. Sometimes your faith, your failing faith going to have to catch up with your believing God actions. Amen. Sometimes you have to do what God said even though you ain't feeling what God said. You think Paul and them really felt like after being beat and they back slashed open by whips and now they're chained to a wall and feet fastened in the stocks and rats trying to make dinner out of them. And that smell will give you a headache in 2 seconds. You think they felt like singing praises to God? No, faith ain't a feeling. Faith is an action. Amen. Faith is, I heard what God said, I believe what God said, I demonstrate I believe what God said by doing what God said. In spite of the trials and tribulations I'm going through, I'm not going to let my situation put my light out. I'm not going to let my situation make my salt lose its saltiness. I ain't going to be no bitter Christian. I ain't going to say to be no bitter Christian. I got to say to be better. Not bitter. Need to work on switching them letters. Amen? Amen. Why? Because the Lord is near. That could mean two things. That could mean Jesus is ready to come get us up out of this world because it's half, all the way crazy. It ain't half crazy no more. It's all the way crazy. But the Lord is near. Amen? Isn't that awesome to know? When I was in Detroit House of Correction, the Lord was near me. He never left me. He encouraged me so much that I couldn't even despair. You know how you're supposed to go to jail, put your head down and trip out, wonder how you ended up in there, even though you did what you did to end up in there? I didn't have my head down. I met up with another preacher, and we started preaching, and we started having Bible classes and prayer meeting over in the baseball diamond. Then we was going to open a church in an empty barracks, and the devil kicked us both out of jail. Amen? Didn't want to go, but I went. Amen? And the Lord never left me. He was near. So why I'm tripping? He did me like Joseph up in there. Okay? And the preacher, he was living in the warden's house. I didn't have to do anything. They put you on a job according to the last thing you did when you was out in the world free. Well, I was a associate preacher. So they put me in the office. And there was this one guy who loved to do the work, so I never had to do anything. All I did was read people's letters and pray and teach in the Detroit House of Correction. I wasn't nothing but a three-year-old Christian in 1978. No, it didn't happen last week. It was a bunch of years ago, okay? But if you've been to, been to a situation like that, I bet you Paul could tell you about that Philippian jail. He didn't like being in there, but I bet he glad Jesus was in there with him. Amen. Hallelujah. So Paul says, look, and this is going to sound crazy. Amen. One second. As I come somewhere near a close, this is just the first close. You know I got two or three more up. Amen. Paul says, don't be anxious about anything. In the New Living Translation, it says it like this. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Right there. Don't worry. So if you're worrying, you're sinning. Because Jesus said, don't worry. And that's not the first place. Even over in Matthew chapter 6, I believe, verse 32, he says the pagans worry. Are you a pagan? Then why are you worrying? See, it's one thing to be concerned. That's all right. Jesus expects you to be concerned because if not, you're crazy. But if you're worrying, that's altogether different. Worrying has totally different effects on the human body and mind and heart than, amen, amen, being concerned. Being concerned is smart. Worrying is a sin. Amen. Jesus says, do not be anxious about anything. Now tell Jesus he's crazy. Tell him, what do you mean don't worry about anything? You don't know what I'm going through. Seriously? Jesus don't know what you're going through. Are you kidding? Before you started going through this, the devil had to have a meeting with the Lord just like he did about Job. Nothing comes to you unless it's God-filtered. James Fortune going to be like, why are you steal that from me? Why you put it in the public? But anyway, don't be anxious about anything. Now, the Lord says instead, but in every situation, by prayer and petition. Prayer and petition. Make your request known to who? Your family? Your husband, your wife? Your children? Your mommy, your daddy? Your uncles and aunties? Your extended relatives? Your in-law outlaws? No, he said make your request known to God. See, God got people. And see, God got people that will help you and not worrying about helping you. Why? Because God said help you. God went and told those people, Remember when I told y'all about Running for Christ getting ready to go underwater? It was on. It was circling the toilet. It was finna go down. Me and Sheila were just, we had a choice to make. Do we keep our business and our life going, or do we keep Running for Christ going, or do we lose both of them? We came to the place where we were about to lose both. There's no way out. Well, some God got people. Of course we prayed about that situation. Of course we told God what we even thought we needed. Amen? And guess what? People put money in our mail door and said, hey, Jesus told me to do this. And they didn't belong to Running for Christ. And then he went and got somebody else who belonged to Word of Faith and put the money in the door and said, Jesus told me. Then my wife went to get her hair done. Okay? And the hairdresser say, Jesus told me to give you this. And since then, we have not had to carry the whole load financially. And the Lord restored everything that we sacrificed for Running for Christ Ministries. Even when it came to a place where we were going to be able to receive, and the only reason I'm telling you this, because Jesus wanted me to, is the church had run up a debt of $7,800 to me in salary that it couldn't pay. And when the church was able to pay me that salary, I didn't want the salary because I wanted the church to have the money because we need this, that, and the other. We still got to pay stuff. And so I was upset that if I take that, Lord, like you say, then it's going to destroy the church. That don't make sense. But you know what Jesus told me? See, that's why you pray about everything. He said he had told Ananias and Sapphira, and remember them, they was going to trick the Holy Ghost and say, yeah, this the money. Yeah, this is all we got. But they was lying. And then the Lord said, what Peter said to them was, while the money was in your hand, wasn't it up to do with it whatever you wanted to? And immediately the light came on, and we tied the money back to the church. Problem solved. It blessed the church, and it blessed us at tax time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. In every situation, make your request known to God. When you listen, here's these four steps for our close. I don't want you to go without this. He says in the New Living Translations, number one, don't worry about anything. Concern is not worrying, but you need to know the difference between the two. Worry makes you hurt in your heart, mind, body. Concern don't. Concern looks for a plan, a way out. Okay, and God will show you that way out. With every temptation, he will what? Show you a way of escape. He will show you the way out because he knows full well that, for instance, you work in Flint. You live in Ecorse. You don't have a vehicle. God know you can't walk to Flint. You'd be late every day. Okay? So he's going to get you a vehicle. And so you go ahead on about your business till the vehicle show up. Look at Jesus. Amen. Look at him. Amen. So he says, look, don't worry about anything. Instead, here's the alternative. Pray about everything. Tell God. But see, God wants to show out in your life. He don't want you running around talking about they did it, they did it, them people over there, they blessed. No, God wants to say, God blessed me through those people. He found people I ain't even know. And they blessed me. I'll never forget when Deacon Tate, amen, got a job, and he got a handicapped son who needed a handicapped van. He got to working at this place called Marathon. And guess what? A man that worked at Marathon said, hey, you got a handicapped son? I got a handicapped van. I don't want it. You want it? Yeah, I'll take it. Boom. Deal done. He didn't know that man. But God did. And God brought them together. Deal done. So God says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Now, don't forget this part. Remember what God has already done. That's what prayer and petition mean with thanksgiving. You can't give thanks for something. If you're giving thanksgiving, that means you're thanking God for something he already did. Remember all the times God brought you through before. All of the heels that popped up out of nowhere before, and he just mowed them down till they was flat, like going through the Red Sea. Like that song said, going through the Red Sea. Amen. God make a road that wheels can roll across and people's feet ain't getting stuck in mud trying to get across. He made a road better than we make them. I wish he'd come fix our roads. Amen. Tell God what you need. Now, when you do that, this is the promise from the Lord. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, because why? You're in the Philippian jail, but you're singing praises to God. See, that confused those folks who was locked up with them. It confused them. They was like, we all in here locked up. Thief on the cross got confused. We up here on the cross. And you. But what did they do? They wanted what they had. The thief on the cross wanted Jesus. Why? Because Jesus was up here for no reason at all. And no doubt he had heard about miracles. No doubt he had heard about sermons. No doubt he had heard about teachings. He had something to believe in Jesus. And he did. And got saved. Paul and Silas found peace. They got that peace that surpassed understanding because they're in a Philippian jail singing praises to God. You know what you're going through right now. You know what you're facing. Are you singing praises to God at midnight? Or are you waiting to come out of it? Are you waiting for the Lord to bring deliverance? And then you're going to have a hallelujah party. I can't wait till my change come. I'm going to have a, you better party right now, knowing that your change is coming. We need to develop that faith the Hebrew boys had. When they talked to Nebi, you know what they told Nebuchadnezzar? We don't care what you do. We're not even careful. I love the way the King James Version says it. Oh, your majesty, we are not careful to answer thee on this matter. And the matter was them being thrown in the fiery furnace. But here's what they said. We don't know what God going to do. If he's going to deliver us from the fire or deliver us to himself through the fire. We don't know what God's going to do, but we want you to know, O king. Say this to your problem. We want you to know, O problem. We will not bow down. We will rejoice, and we will rejoice again. That's what God want to hear. See, that's the kind of faith to get jails tore up. That's the kind of faith to get bills paid. That's the kind of faith, that's the kind of faith you need to have. Now, look, lastly, and I'm closing. This is my real close. Listen, brothers and sisters, we always talk about we can't control our minds. Well, Jesus is going to give you that peace that surpasses understanding, and it's going to guard your heart and mind. That's why you have to remember well what God have done for you in the past, so when something else come up, you're not all tore up from the floor up like you was back then when you was a little bit spiritually immature. Now you know what Jesus can do. Amen? Finally, brothers and sisters, here's how you control your mind. And this might surprise you. Okay? Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, if it's not true, don't think on it. If it's not noble, don't think on it. If it's not right, anything that does not agree with the word of God, don't think on it. Okay? Whatever is pure, think on that. Whatever is lovely, think on that. Whatever is admirable, whatever is praiseworthy or excellent, think about those things. Talking about, I ain't going to make it. Jesus don't love me. Plus, my sins ain't even by mistake. They're all the way on purpose. I don't live right. I've sinned too much. Jesus can help them people over there because they real holy and do everything right. I don't do hardly nothing right. I don't even deserve to ask the Lord for anything. I just sit here in the muck and the mire. Really? Seriously? You know who you sound like? Remember Elijah? He got up, God put him up against 450 fake prophets and then proved they was fake prophets. And then the next day, Jezebel say, oh, so you killed all my prophets, huh? Okay. You threw one woman, right? Oh, yeah, she the queen, right? But still, you done took out 450 prophets trusting God. And now one woman threatened you with death, and you run out to the middle of nowhere, and you just sit there. And when the Lord show up and say, what you doing here? Because we're not supposed to be in the middle of nowhere, just sitting there, tripping. The Lord say, what you doing here? Well, you know, I did what you told me to do. Now your girl, Jezebel, put out a contract on, told me she's going to kill me. So I took off running. He's like, dude, really? You did not see when no nut jobs tried to make a God that don't exist show up, okay? And they couldn't. They just gave up. Even went to cutting themselves, they God still ain't show up. And then you soaked the altar with water, more water, tell them put more water, and then I burn up everything. And now you're out here in the middle of nowhere. You don't remember what I just did for you? That's why the Lord say remember. Church, control your mind. Amen? Guess what? Peace. Amen? The kind that surpasses all understanding is ours. Amen? Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. Father, we thank you for peace. We thank you for that kind of peace that surpasses all understanding. We thank you, Jesus, that you said the peace that I give you is not the kind you get from the world, because the world gives you peace when you get things or do things. But the kind you give sustains us when things from the world that Satan uses against us happen to us. You give us that peace. And folks can't even understand how we at peace. Just like the folks in the Philippian jail could not understand how Paul and them was over there singing praises and they in the dungeon. We in regular cells. They in the dungeon. And listen to them singing praises to God, their God, at the worst time, midnight, when it's the darkest. Amen. We are your children. And you give us these examples to show us. Even if we're like Joseph, we've been in this nonsense for 13 years. The next day, we prime minister of Egypt. How you do, Jesus? Thank you, Lord. Perfect peace is ours, but we have to obtain it. Help us, Lord, not to worry about anything. Help us instead to pray about everything. Help us, Father, to focus that prayer not on our family, friends, and relatives, but on you. And let us, Lord, remember what you have done for us in the past. Let us remember them valleys where we wanted to die. Let us remember those hills when we thought we would die because it's so hard to climb. Let us remember we got over all those hills. We went through all those valleys. And now here's another hill. It'll be defeated like that other. Here's another valley. It will be defeated like that last valley. Help us, Lord, to use the faith you've given us from all of the things that worry and illegitimate concern causes to happen to us. We thank you, Lord, that we are healed. We thank you, Lord, that all our needs are met because we seek your kingdom and your righteousness. And you said yourself, if we did that, you would add to us the needs of life, food, water, clothes, cars, houses. You know full well, because you made us, that we have need of all these things. Don't let these things cause us to trip. But let us tell these things that we belong to the Most High God. And as Jesus told the devil out there in the wilderness, we will serve the Lord our God and him alone, because he is the one who meets all our needs. In Jesus' name we pray and give you all the thanks in heaven and earth that we can muster. Amen and amen. I found you, Crystal. I found you. Amen.
Amen.
Surprise, surprise, well, surprise.
Surprise.
Don't the power pop right up in my... Surprise, surprise. I'm like, dude, really? Really? That's all I need is you all up in here.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like,
Lord,
I'm sitting here
mercy.
So ready to
mm-hmm.
hear a sermon, and Jesus ain't
mm-hmm.
saying nothing. He, Crystal,
yeah.
he ain't tell me nothing.
Yeah.
He tell me
praise
not
God,
last
got
night.
A sermon ready. Okay.
That's why we had to add that extra song, because I had like, okay,
that's
Jesus,
right.
Now you're doing your stuff again. And he says, oh, so you're going to tell them don't worry, but listen to you.
There we go. And listen to the sermon that we just got. Listen to what we just got. Okay?
That's
so, Pastor,
it.
You go and take your break. Yeah, look, give
Thank
him
you.
Every Saturday for the next month. You're welcome. Amen. Good morning, everybody. Happy, happy Saturday to you. It is the third Saturday in the month of March. We have had a great, well, I don't know about you. I can't speak for anybody else, but I totally enjoyed today's sermon as I do, or not, well, not sermon, but the show, the service, I should say, as I do every Saturday. You know, even though I come on at the end, I'm listening from the beginning, and it always amazes me how the Holy Spirit is always on his job. And everything is always working together for our good. So thank you, Pastor O, for the sermon that you brought to us today, the super ad hoc sermon that we know that you were not prepared for. Jesus knew before you knew that we were going to get that today. And so thank you for always being ready. Thank you for not being that pastor who, you know, has to scramble to find a sermon. Yes, it may have caught you off guard, but there's always a word waiting in you for us or for whoever it is that you may have to say something to. And so we are just very grateful that you're always ready. You stay ready, so you ain't got to get ready. You ain't one of them pastors who got to just hurry up and run to the Bible and need some time and run to the Bible to flip through the pages to see if something jumps out at you. You're always ready. To give a word. You're always ready to teach the Bible. Like, you're just so full. And so, again, we're just so thankful that you were on your toes today. And even though it may not have been something that you wanted to do, you were always ready to do it, and you brought it forth today. And the word was perfect because you're like, hey, preacher, where's he at? Oh, it's me. Okay, Jesus, I'm not going to worry, but I'm going to trust you. And so that came out in your sermon today. And so, again, we just thank you so, so very much for always having a word in you and always being ready to step in when you have to. Amen. So Elder Joseph Stevens is in so much trouble, and we're going to make him do a whole lot of preaching to make up for today. Amen. So, again, good morning, everybody. I'm going to keep my sermon for today to myself just for the sake of time. It will probably spill out at some point at another time, but don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all he's done. And then you'll get the peace that sustains us. Like, the world doesn't give us any peace. All they do is cause confusion and worry and concern. And, you know, being concerned about things is one thing, but being worried about something leads to other emotions. You know, when you're worried, fear starts to creep in, and fear, you know, causes another emotion, like maybe anger because you're thinking things are not happening fast enough. So then you get into your feelings and you completely forget about what your faith is supposed to be doing for you. So just make sure to not worry about anything, but to just pray about everything and tell God not only what you need, but what you want. Okay, God is perfectly capable of handling our complaints, our concerns, our worries, our fears, our thoughts, our everything. We can give that to Jesus. We can cast our cares on him because he cares for us. Amen. And so us casting means to forcefully throw something at him. Jesus is always ready to catch it. He ain't going to drop it. It's not going to fall. He ain't going to miss it. He's always going to catch it. Amen. And so he's telling us to get that stuff off of us and give it to him because he will work it out. Amen. So just by way, I guess that was my sermon that I thought I wasn't going to get. So anyway, just by way of a couple of announcements, please don't forget that Sunday, our Sunday school begins at 9 a.m., excuse me, with our teacher, Pastor Janice Tate, and then we segue into our Sunday worship service that begins at 10 a.m. The praise team leads us in our worship, amen, and so Pastor O will be bringing the word tomorrow. Some of what he talks about today kind of leads out into what he was going to be talking about tomorrow. So if you heard today, tomorrow, not going to be that far-fetched. Amen. So we'll just tie everything in together. So again, Pastor O is going to be preaching tomorrow. Don't forget that we are located at 27085 West Outer Drive in Ecorse, Michigan. Again, our Sunday school is at 9 a.m. and then our worship service is at 10 a.m. Monday, don't forget, Minister Lachelle Anderson has her blog talk show, her blog talk radio show, I should say, entitled Street Love that begins at 6:30 p.m. Just go to our church website, rfcm.org, and click on Christian Resources for more info on how to tune into that. Tuesdays, 4 p.m., Minister Richard Overall is on Blog Talk Radio with his teaching, so don't forget to tune into that. Wednesday at 6 p.m., we have our Bible class. We are back on Blog Talk Radio, okay? It seems like Blog Talk Radio has, you know, gotten our little situation together that kind of made it for us to have to go on to Zoom. But for some reason in 2024, people still struggling with getting on Zoom, even though for the last just about 4 years, we've done everything on Zoom as a society because of COVID, and we still got people struggling to get on Zoom, okay? But praise God, we had a ram in the bush, and so we are back on Blog Talk Radio on Wednesday with our Bible class. So just make sure to call our new telephone number, which is 515-605-9781, 515-605-9781, to tune in and participate in our Wednesday night Bible class at 6 o'clock, again, back on Blog Talk Radio. This week, our teacher is Keila Freeman. The title of the lesson is Jairus' Daughter and the Bleeding Woman. All right, so if you need a book, which you do need a book to participate, if you want to participate and you don't have a book, please go to our church website, rfcm.org, so you can get one. Fridays, please don't forget that Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is on Blog Talk Radio with her show, Bring Back the Family, so tune in to that. And then we get back to Saturdays where we have our worship services here on Blog Talk Radio at 10 a.m. If you care about who's preaching that Saturday, go check the website for the preaching schedule. But again, don't worry about who's preaching, because today you might have been trying to listen to Elder Joseph Stevenson, but because he wasn't on, you might have just not wanted to listen. So how about you just tune in? Doesn't matter who the preacher is, just tune in, okay? But if you want to know what the preaching schedule is for Saturdays, you're more than welcome to go to our church website, rfcm.org, to figure it out, all right? As a new announcement, we do have a new class that's going to be beginning on April 1st at 6 p.m. It's what Pastor calls an ad hoc. So it's beginning on April 1st, which is a Monday, and it's on Blog Talk Radio, and it's entitled The Bible, God's Word to Us. All right, so class is taught by Pastor O. It's a five-week-long class. You will need the book for the class, which was written by Pastor O himself. Amen. So for those who are members of Run for Christ Ministries, the book is free. Or if you visit Run for Christ Ministries on a regular basis, at least several times a month, the book is free for you as well. So please see Sheila, or you can email or text Pastor O. Don't call Pastor O, because Pastor O be busy. And he does have a phone that is in this century. Praise God. The Smithsonian phone has gone back to the Smithsonian. And so if you text Pastor O, he will get your text message, and he will respond. Amen. So don't call him if you don't have to, because Pastor O is doing a lot of things. So just text him, you know, if you need to, or send him an email to let him know that you want the book. Or again, you can see Sheila, because she will make sure to get it documented as well. And you need to do this by March 16th, which is today. All right. So today's the deadline. If you want to get a book, make sure you say something by the end of the day today. All right. The questions are posted on our church website, rfcm.org. Pastor has sent them via email, so for those of you who don't check your emails, how you don't in 2024, I'm not really sure, but Pastor O did send them via email, and they will also be on the back table if you are in person on Sundays. All right, so you have multiple ways of getting your questions. Again, if you want to participate in the class, make sure you say something to Sheila or Pastor O by the end of the day today, because today is the deadline. All right? Please remember that all classes and services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and best of all, they are free, all right? So please check out our church website, rfcm.org, where you will find jobs, books, resources, and more, again, all available for free. Use it for yourself however you need to, but make sure that you're sharing it with others, all right? As far as your tithes and offerings go, if you want to pay your tithes and offerings online, go to the church website, rfcm.org, and click on the tithes and offerings tab. Normally, we take up an offering, a love offering for whoever preaches on Saturday. Pastor O was the ad hoc preacher today, and so he usually doesn't want us to take up an offering for him. But if you would like to give a love offering for Pastor O, please feel free to do so. And you can go on our church website, rfcm.org, to do so and just say, this is a love offering for Pastor O's ad hoc sermon on Saturday on Blog Talk Radio, and we will make sure that Pastor O receives it. Amen. And so we say thank you to you, and God bless you in advance for sharing with us and with those that we help. Amen. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 7 speaks of a new heaven and a new earth. All right. We all like new things. So just imagine a new heaven and a new earth. We ain't even seen heaven yet. Okay. This side of life anyway. And we see earth because we own it. We're destroying it. We're misusing all of its resources. All right. So just think about what a new earth is going to look like. All right. So it reads, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he sits down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. Amen, amen. That is a wonderful word. I absolutely love that. Amen. So something to look forward to, a new heaven and a new earth. You don't get that, though, if you ain't in Jesus. You're going to see something else, and it ain't going to be a new beautiful heaven, and it's not going to be a new beautiful earth. It's going to be hell, okay? We can't be sugarcoating heaven and hell. They are what they are. It is what it is, and Jesus said what he said, okay? So you either picking Jesus or you picking Satan, but you don't get a new heaven and a new earth if you're playing for the wrong team, okay? All right, so as always, we ask that you continue to pray for everyone, everywhere, all of the time. Continue to pray for Keela Freeman, Sharon Abraham, Deacon Charles Mackey. I know last week when I read the announcement, his mom was in the hospital. I'm not sure if she's still there, but it doesn't matter. Continue to pray for him as well as his mother. He is very close with her, so please keep them lifted up in prayer. Continue to pray for all of our lovely mothers at Run for Christ Ministries, Mother Marilyn, Mother Persia, Mother Cheryl, and Mother Irma. Continue to pray for Deaconess Naomi Carter, Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks, Nico Gaston, Darius Freeman, Reese, all of our pastors that Run for Christ Ministries. Continue to pray for college students. You know, again, they got a lot going on. They're transitioning into adulthood. You know, people are forcing their kids to college, but they haven't given them basic life skills. They're telling them to be adults. The world is telling them, hey, you're 18, you're an adult now. You can make all of these decisions on your own. And yet they don't even really fully know that 2 + 2 is actually 4 and not 5 or 3. Okay. So we really need to pray for our college kids. Because they get out there, they get exposed to things which you can't really control. But if you have not taught your children who they need to be serving, if you have not told your children who they belong to, they don't know how to pray. They are looking for the world to solve their problems and people to solve their problems. And we all know that people are evil, okay? Jesus didn't create us like that. God didn't create us like that. But because of the fall in the garden, that's what's up, okay? So you really don't want your kids going to kids who got the same problems they got or even worse. And then now they're trying to help each other work things out, okay? That's not going to work. So as parents, we're responsible for teaching our children and giving our kids back to God and allow them to establish their own relationship with the Lord so that when you're not around, which you're not going to be forever, or when bad people come around or people who the enemy is using to steer people in the wrong direction, your children will know what the word says and they will know foundationally what they need to do, which is to go to God and don't worry about anything but to pray about everything and tell God what they need and to thank God for all that he has done, okay? That's our responsibility as parents, to give our kids back to God. Amen? All right, that was my second little mini sermon. Amen. Continue to pray for all those who are unsaved, because that's really what this is about, okay? Saved versus unsaved. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. If you're unsaved, you're going to hell. That's apples and oranges, like, that's what it is, okay? There's no middle ground, all right? So pray for those who are unsaved. Continue to pray, you know, that they come to know the love of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice made for them to have eternal life with him, all right? Continue to pray for those in the body of Christ so that we can be witnesses for the Lord in the way that we live and the way that we show love to one another. Remember that you may be the only Jesus that people see, so make sure you are representing him accordingly. Amen? And then we also ask that you continue to pray for all of those who are bereaved, mourning, and grieving the loss of friends and loved ones. Amen. That's going to happen until this year is over with. So we always need to be lifting up those who have lost friends and loved ones. Amen. Happy birthday to all the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated their birthday this past week, or if you're celebrating today. A very happy and blessed birthday goes out to our Run for Christ Ministry members. Pastor Jonathan Tate set this month off with his birthday on the 1st. Alana and Amir both celebrated their birthday on the 7th. Daylene celebrated her birthday on the 8th. Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon's husband, James McClendon, celebrated his birthday on the 10th. Darius Freeman will be celebrating his birthday tomorrow on the 17th. And Ayana, one of Kat's kids, amen, will be celebrating her birthday on the 20th. So happy, happy birthday to each and every one of you. Amen. And lastly is your devotional, and it is entitled Staying on the Straight and Narrow. This is by Pastor Jeff Shreve at From His Heart Ministries. You guys know that I love his devotionals. I say that every week. I love them. I get them, and that's why I share them. Amen? So it reads as follows. For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. That's Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Have you ever found yourself stuck in a ditch? My first accident came when I was a foolish, brash, 16-year-old, quote, roadway pro. I was driving on a narrow two-lane road behind a slow-moving vehicle. Since I was too cool to have to languish behind a slowpoke, I whipped my car into the passing lane and hit the gas. Unbeknownst to me, the roads were slick from the recent rain. As I tried to pass, my tires began to fishtail, and I lost control of my automobile. Fortunately, I did not hit the car I was passing, but I did end up in the ditch, facing the wrong direction, with damage to the front end of my newly refurbished Camaro. By my own stupid actions, I failed to keep my vehicle on the straight and narrow. The Christian life is a lot like a narrow road. Jesus called it the narrow way that leads to life. As you and I stay on the narrow way, walking in the light with the Lord, all is well and life is fulfilled with joy. Life is filled with joy, peace, purity, and fulfillment. But there are dangers to either side of us on this narrow road. If you veer off on either side, you will find yourself stuck in a ditch. So legalism on the right side. On the right side of the narrow road is the ditch of legalism. Legalism is gritting your teeth and trying with all your might to live the Christian life and please God in the power of the flesh. In the power of the flesh. Let me say that again. Living a legalistic Christian life is an exercise in futility that always leaves you guilty and frustrated as you continually fail. No one can meet the requirements of the law in the power of the flesh. Jesus died and rose again for us so we could walk in freedom. He wants us to trust him and let him live the Christian life through us. The little poem says it best. I can't. He never said I could. He will. He always said he would. The way you know you have fallen into the ditch of legalism is that you lose your joy. The Christian life becomes a drudgery, a list of rules that you must keep or else. It is a horrible, miserable way for a Christian to live. Beware of falling into the ditch of legalism. Licentiousness on the left side. Now, on the left side of the narrow road is the ditch of licentiousness, a full 180 degrees from legalism. A licentious person sees God's grace as a license to sin, sexual immorality, partying, hedonism or pleasure seeking, and compromise all encompass the licentious lifestyle. Like the prodigal son, those who fall into this kind of behavior always dead end into the pigsty, consumed with guilt and shame over their selfish, sinful actions. Then the devil. The devil doesn't care which ditch you fall into. He just wants you off the narrow road. The devil knows that if you stay on track with the Lord, you will experience the wonderful blessings of the victorious Christian life. Since the devil is a thief who comes only to steal and kill and destroy, He will try with all his might to get you veering off the road and into the ditch. For some, he will tempt with the rules and regulations, appealing to a person's sense of self-righteousness. For others, he will tempt with the passing pleasure of sin that appeals to the flesh. But the good news is this: greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. That's 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. The devil is a defeated foe, and we can walk in victory over his schemes. I don't know where you are today, but God does. He knows and he cares. If you are derailed and have fallen into legalism or licentiousness, you can get back on track with Jesus, and you can do it today. Cry out to him. Confess your sins to him. Regardless of what you have done, his hand is stretched out to you today. He says, take my hand and let's walk together again. So, and this is a personal question, and this is a personal answer that you have to give. What is your answer to him? Not to people, but how will you respond to Jesus when he says, take my hand? Amen? Amen. And those are your announcements.
Amen. Wow. I was missing so much. Jesus, Mike, you better open your mic. But anyway, amen. You know.
Amen.
Crystal, this has been some kind of a day. Yeah, man, I can't wait to get down into my little cave and have a little talk with Jesus.
You're right.
I know what he's going to say, though. He said, look, you preached about having faith. You preached about not worrying. I know that's what he's going to hit me with, so I ain't going to say it.
Yep.
But anyway. Thank you, Crystal. Appreciate you and Jeffrey.
You're welcome. Absolutely.
You get them and keep giving them to us, because those are those lessons that we need, amen, to help us get through, because the Lord knows what happens when we go down the mountain. That's why I'm staying up here till tomorrow.
Okay.
I ain't coming down. I'm like Nehemiah. I'm like Nehemiah. I will not come down to you. No,
nope,
I'll wait
I'm not
tomorrow.
Going.
I'll come down tomorrow. Thank you, Crystal.
You're welcome.
Tell Mir I said what's up.
I sure will. Amen.
All right. Love you guys. Be blessed.
Love you too.
Amen. Amen. I thank God for each and every one of you who tune in. And truly, I do. I'll just say that because it's the end of the show. I say that because it's true. You know, you don't have to attend. I remember when Blog Talk first started, and I used to argue with the Lord about preaching to two people, Crystal and her mom. You know, and so I was like, come on, Jesus, I need a bigger audience. I had no idea most people were listening after the show was over to the recorded show. And when I saw the numbers, I was like, who are those people, Jesus? He said, don't worry about it. Those were people I needed to hear what you said. And it just kept happening. And now today, I think we've been able to talk and reach out to well over 130,000 people. You know, let me see what these numbers are, because I never really, really know. We've done over 1,939 different worship services and Bible classes, and we've been able to reach out and touch over almost 133,000 people. We're right close to 133,000 people. I never dreamed of that. Blog Talk Radio was set up to reach seven people. And those were members of our church who worked and couldn't get in Bible class. And Jesus had a whole nother plan. And now here we are from 09 to now. And this is what the Lord has done with all of us who work together in this at Running for Christ Ministry. So I thank God for each and every one of you. Pray that you get in touch about your book today. Amen. That's all I got. Amen. So let's get this benediction and let's go. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Until we all meet again, let the whole church say, amen. See you when I see you.
Look out, look out, yeah, yeah. Sin was born in my soul, lost, confused, and distressed, yeah.
standing filthiness, called the righteousness, dismissing that eternal gift that was priceless. Just cause we were enemies, yeah. What was evident was not depravity, pulling me down just like gravity, low enough to humble me so I could see that it was the truth. Forgave my sins, no longer doomed, but I'm saved, my friends. This is the peace with God that I have. He rearranged my path that was destined for wrath. So now this race I can run, because I am believing in Jesus Christ the Son. Peace is trusting in what His blood has done, and in Romans 8, 1 and Him tells you so, you don't condemn. I'm walking in redemption and reconciliation, and peace is no more guilt or shame. I'm justified through faith in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, and He planted Him inside of me. And not the true vine, He abides in me. And not the branch bear the fruit of peace. But that doesn't promise that today I will cease. It only means that it won't consume me. You can let the songs come, but they won't move me. No. Peace is holding to His hand. I'm leaning on His word and trust His plan. Won't be missing pieces, pieces for the Christian like slacks and creases. Kings and Caesars, Da Vinci's and the Mona Lisa's, like respect and Aretha. If God ain't there, His teeth ain't either. From the pulpit to the bleacher, to the school kid, to the teacher, Christ's eye is at His peace would reach it. Cause peace wasn't designated to just individuals, but peace was designed and God's mind to be missional. So we're living out the gospel of peace, so Christ is the visual, demanding we share peace with our fellow men. So it's physical, it's quizzical. You say you love God, but can't live peaceable, cynical, warranty. Peace like fruit that's seasonal, like fruit in your cereal. But way too long you treated peace like it was trivial. It's spiritual, it only comes up in you when your spirit fills.